If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 35 of Sir Kevin Says. Happy New Year for everybody. Hopefully 2021 is way better than 2020. We're here with Antonio Geary. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to be here.
Dude, thank you for coming out here. I know you're not too far from here, right? Only 20...
Yeah, like 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Too bad.
Yeah, man. Yeah. How you feeling, bro? How's everything?
Good, man. Just trying to make the best of life ever since quarantine. Life changed a lot, so just day by day, taking it day by day, living life to the fullest.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Antonio is a drummer, drum tech, and he's also a world traveler.
I try.
When you say world traveler, where have you been?
All over. Been to Brazil, Australia, Finland, Norway, London, Indonesia, just wherever they send me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those traveling opportunities have come through your work?
Most of them, yeah.
Nice. How long have you been teching for?
About 4 years now, yeah, professionally.
And what was your introduction into that?
It's a good story.
Yeah.
So pretty much how I got started, I went to Musicians Institute right after high school. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks after I graduated high school, I was already into college.
Wow.
So I was like, no time to waste, no time for fun. Let's just get right to business.
Yeah.
So went to MI for, I think, like a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
And then for a drummer, just shedding, you know how it is, just practicing classes and all that. And then one day, Brian Fraser Moore, drummer of Madonna, Justin Timberlake, everyone.
Yeah, man.
He was like, I took lessons from him. So pretty much how that happened was I hit him on Instagram. I was like, hey, do you give some drum lessons? And he was like, yeah, I give lessons. Took a couple lessons from him. And after that, he liked me. And we just started hanging out as friends.
BFM World, right?
BFMworld.com.
Yeah. He does consultations, talks to people about their
drum
careers.
Lessons and stuff.
Yeah.
Any drummer should hit him up.
I totally agree. One of the top, if not the top, pop drummer. Plays for Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, Alicia Keys.
Madonna.
Yeah, Madonna.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah, man. He's been around for a long time. So he's one of the GOATs. So,
yeah.
But let's take it from the beginning. What were your upbringings? Where are you originally from?
So music was never really in my background. So pretty much I grew up in Corona. Usually it was mainly sports. Played baseball, football, basketball, everything growing up.
Yeah.
High school played football. And then I think around 10, I decided, hey, let me just, out of the blue, it was like, let me do drums. I want to learn drums. So my parents put me in drum lessons. And ever since, been doing lessons since. And then sophomore year of high school, I'm like, I don't really want to go like the college route. Like that's not my strong point.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was like, well, I'm good at drums. Why not try to do something with that?
Mm-hmm. What's the style that you enjoyed playing growing up?
I started off playing more rock. Yeah, so rock, drums pretty much. But then like towards like college, high school, it started to turn into R&B and pop just because that's where like the jobs really are at.
Yeah. What are some of your inspirations?
For music?
Yeah.
Or
drumming. Like, yeah, who are some of the people that you look up to?
Of course, like Brian Fraser Moore, Mike Reed, guys like that, guys in the pop industry that are doing this for a career.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you got to appreciate that.
Yeah, that's good, man. And did you learn how to read in school also a little bit?
Yeah, so pretty much growing up, I always took lessons from 10 till 20.
Mm-hmm.
So always took lessons, but then in college, we're like, all right, we're really learning. So we started learning music. Theory, a little bit of everything. That school's real rounded to get you right for the music industry.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you started taking drum lessons with Brian Fraser, and then you guys hit it off from the get-go.
Exactly.
How did that introduction into drum teching come into play?
So pretty much, like, yeah, so I was trying to be a drummer. That was the goal. So I was doing drums and then taking lessons from him. And then one day he's like, I need a LA drum tech for this show called Boy Band.
Mm.
And I was like, well, I play drums. Why not me, right?
Yeah.
And then, so he hit me up. So we were talking. And then he was like, all right, well, if you're serious, come to my house. for like as long as it takes. So we did like a boot camp pretty much for like a month. And I was just going to his house every morning, 8 a.m., leaving my house at like 7 a.m.
Wow.
And still in school, just going there. I'll get there at 8 a.m. Don't be late. That's part of everything's part of it, you know?
Wow, man.
So get there right at 8, 7:50. And then he just makes me put together his drum kit, tear it down, repeat, work on drum electronics and just everything it takes to be a drum tech. He just ran me through like a boot camp pretty much.
Wow. Really. What are some of the things that you would say drum techs absolutely need to know?
Electronics. That's
talk
number
to us
one.
About that.
So pretty much it's just programming sounds, doing it fast on the spot. You never, with being a tech, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you got to be prepared. And even if you're not prepared, you got to just figure it out.
Mm.
So drum electronics are definitely number one to be in drum tech. After that, it's details. Everything's the details, how things are angled, how things look, how things sound. Everything matters.
Yeah.
I've learned that.
And you tune the drums as well according to his specifications as well? Like,
yeah, pretty much. It depends on the drum head and things like that and the artist I'm working with and the drummer. But for like Brian, for example, I know what he likes. I know his sound, so I tune it to that. Or like Tony Royster, I know his sound, so I tune it to that.
Wow,
and Mike
man.
Reed and things like that.
Yeah. And what about working with the actual artists themselves? How's that experience like?
It's crazy. I never thought I would be like Alicia Keys right there, Camila right there. It's incredible. I'm so blessed to be able to be in this position where I'm actually working with these A-list artists, because my goal was just to work with the best.
Yeah.
And at 20, I was working with the best. And it's crazy how fast things happened. But
yeah.
I'm blessed that I was able to get those opportunities and take it.
Nice, man. So working with Brian, you moved on to, I'm assuming, working directly with Adam.
Exactly.
Right?
Adam Blackstone.
Yeah. How's that going, man?
Great, man. He's a great guy. Like, he's helped me so much. He's just a great person. So pretty much how that connection happened, I was with Brian. And then he, after the boot camp, got me all ready. And he was like, all right, I see the dedication in you. And he was like, all right, I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to introduce you to Adam Blackstone. So I was like shadowing, being around rehearsals. And then I also do a Fourscore, which is drum charts on an iPad.
Got it.
And before, like I was at their rehearsals and I saw a bunch of papers, just a bunch of papers and notebooks for all their charts. And I'm like, for my gigs, I just use an iPad. Like, these are the professionals. Let's get them on it.
Yeah.
And they really like that.
Nice.
So that's something else I brought to the table.
All across the board.
All across it. Like, yeah, forget the books. That's too difficult. You're switching between pages and stuff. Let's just do all iPads. You just press a button, everything is right there.
Yeah. There's a little device, I think, that like a foot pedal or some sort, right? That you could actually switch
exactly.
the page.
Yep. You could switch the page. You could put music into the chart. It's just so convenient.
Nice.
Especially for
man.
Big TV shows like what these people are doing.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for how long again? It's been what, four?
Almost 4 years.
Four. Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Antonio's worked with Camila Cabello, Alicia Keys, Janet Jackson, Charlie Puth, Megan Trainor, and those are just to name a few.
Just to name a few.
All in the last 4 years. That's incredible, man.
Yeah, I
can't
believe it myself, but I'm happy. I can't be more happy to be where I am right now.
That's cool, man. Do you have any other passions that we don't know about?
It's mainly just that, and then just being with friends. After when I'm not working, I'm just chilling, being with friends, working out.
Yeah.
Spending time for myself and then also just people around me in my circle.
Got it.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier about the importance of being punctual and being on time. The saying goes, I think if you're on time,
you're late. Exactly.
So what's that like, man? Did you have to learn that as you worked with Brian, or was that something you...
That's just who I am.
Okay,
like,
cool.
My parents raised me that way, like always be early. So like I will go to a gig, literally be there an hour and a half early. Like call time is 8 a.m. I'll be there at 7.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting in my car for a full hour.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to risk being late.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that's, you got to be, we're working with professionals. You got to be professional.
That's good, man. That's good. Have you had the chance to work with Ricky Minor?
Ricky Minor? No, I met him a couple times, but I never worked with him.
Man, we went to, I think it was sometime last year, maybe the year before. We went to MI for a panel discussion.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Adam Blackstone and Ricky Minor were headlining the event.
Yeah.
And they were talking about a plethora of things. You know, one of the things I remember, we have this friend in common, Derek Cobbs, you know, where Derek would be insistent on showing Adam these arrangements he was doing for different pop songs and just cover songs or whatever. And apparently he kept bothering Adam for about 2 years or so, until finally Adam gave him a chance to listen to the song or whatever arrangement he did. How important do you think perseverance in this industry is?
this industry is all about connections and how to get in. It's not like college. College, you go college, you do your general ed, and then you just keep going down the path. There's a written path that you have to be, you know?
Yeah.
The music industry, there's no real path to get into this.
Yeah.
You just gotta finesse it yourself. You gotta hustle. Like,
yeah.
If you don't have the drive, then I don't know how you would make it. You need to be very driven. Put 110% into everything you do, from connections, how you present yourself, everything.
Yeah, that's good, man. Since the start of the pandemic back in March, at least here in California, you know, most of what we know as the music industry kind of shut down.
Yeah.
Right? How did that impact you? How did it affect you? I mean, what did you have to do?
Yeah, life was about to be crazy. So in March, I was about to go on tour. We started rehearsals like March 16th for Camila Cabello World Tour. March to March, we're going to be on tour. And then that's when the whole pandemic thing happened. Got an email saying, hey, we'll start 2 weeks later. And then just got the pandemic got worse and worse. And then out of nowhere, from March to October, I didn't work one day.
Man.
Yeah, hit hard.
Did you have to try to find any other job meanwhile? Or how did that?
No, I was just trying to take time for myself. Just be the best, make the best of the situation, you know?
Yeah.
I was fortunate to be okay with finances, so I was okay. And then I was just trying to make the best of it. Like, my life was crazy before that. It was always going. And then it just stopped. So man. I'm like, I'm enjoying this. Yeah. You know, I haven't had this forever because I was always on the hustle.
Yeah, that's good, man. Did it ever cross your mind, okay, maybe I might have to do a switch meanwhile? Or was there ever a point where you had to kind of make a decision, I'm going to just stick this out as long as I have to, you know, until things kind of get back to normal?
Yeah.
Is that kind of your thought process behind that?
Pretty much. I'm a really laid back person. I'm just eventually things are going to go back to normal. You can't stress on things that are out of your control.
Yeah.
So you could be stressed out, overthink, what am I going to do? Blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it's out of your hands.
Yeah.
So I'm I accepted that and just went with the flow with it. And then slowly October hit, started getting some TV shows here and there, just gigs here and there, which has been great for the last 2 or 3 months. Just getting gigs here and there, which has been nice.
Nice.
Good start to hopefully a better path of
2021.
Yes.
Where do you see the music industry going?
It's hard. I always ask people, are concerts going to go back to normal? That's out of my hands. That's not my pay grade. But I don't know. I hope they figure a way out. I'm not sure how they would do it, if it's testing, rapid testing or what, but I hope concerts could go back, and I can't see it dying forever. It can't.
Right, right.
So it's just going to have to come back, and I guess it depends when and how.
Yeah. So talk to us about a regular day, I guess, doing what you do. Let's say you're doing a tour at an arena. You walk into the space. What is it you have to do?
Okay, so we'll walk through it. So let's say your call time is 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., you walk into the Staples Center, and then you see all your backline. So the backline coming out of the semi-trucks, and you just bunch of cases. Then you spread out your cases. All right, I got all the drum stuff here. And then you get some hands, people that help you take out all the drums, and that's where you start building. So building the kit, everything should be already pre-made if I had rehearsals before that. You know? Then just start building. After that, tune it. Make sure it's good, wire up all the electronics. Sometimes on gigs, I just don't only do drums. Like on Charlie Puth, I do drums and keys.
Okay, got it.
So then I'm going to D Cobbs and program, setting up his keys, his heights.
Yeah. When you're talking about heights, do you mean you have a measurement tape?
Depends on who I'm working for. Like Brian, I know his kit. I don't really need a measure tape. I just know the feel of it. I've done it enough times.
Yeah.
But then new people or some people I just, different setups,
right?
You've got to make it perfect. So I definitely go in those details, bring a measuring thing, and then just figure out exactly how they like it.
Okay, so everything's set up, and then during the show, anything that happens, what do you have to do?
So pretty much get all the kits set. My thing is I triple check, maybe four times check.
I'm not gonna
mess up.
Yeah.
If I have the time, just triple check everything. Make sure everything's good, electronics, sounds, drums, everything's perfect. I don't want to be stressed out during the show thinking, oh, I didn't check the drum electronics.
Yeah.
And then something actually happens, you know?
Yeah.
So you just got to triple check your work all the time. But freak things happen.
Yeah. Has there ever been an experience where a freakish thing happened during the show and you were like, I don't know what to do or anything like that?
Because if something happens, first you got to figure out the issue, how to fix the issue. It's time sensitive. and you just get thrown into it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of troubleshooting on the spot mm-hmm. and just thinking really fast, trying to figure out how to fix this scenario, you know? Yeah. So like sometimes like I'll be drum triggers would be double triggering. So sometimes you just got to figure out how what to do with that, crack cymbals and things. One story, I think it was like Madison Square Garden or something.
Oh man.
D Cobbs got in, like went in his mic and saying something's wrong with Charlie Puth's ear pack. And I had to run up in front of 16,000 people. Like he's right here on stage. Yeah. Ran up and I was like at his like belt trying to figure out his pack. It just came undone, so I just put it in. But like when you're approaching the situation, you have no idea what's happening.
Man.
You're just going in like I hope
that's it.
Yeah, I hope that's it. And luckily that was it. But that was a cool experience. He gave me a little shout out. It was pretty cool.
Nice, yeah. Man. Anything happened with Brian or with Chris? Chris Johnson, anything
yeah,
like
Chris
that?
Yeah, Chris Johnson.
Like,
that
you can remember?
It's just small things for, luckily, I try to do my job so big things don't happen, you know?
Yeah.
So like crack cymbals, drum electronics, things like that. Sometimes things are just a little weird or sometimes it's an audio thing. The audio guy says, hey, go check this DI to make sure it's buzzing or something. And you just kind of troubleshoot from there.
Man,
yeah,
that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, it gets stressful. You never know what's going to happen. But I say if you did your homework and you're prepared,
yeah,
you should be good.
Yeah. What about faith, man? How important has faith been a part of your journey? I mean, I don't know if you're religious at all or anything like that, but...
No, it's been great. Like, I wouldn't be where I am without that. Like, I put in the work and it's like work and luck and then like everything combined together.
Yeah.
So I know I couldn't have done this by myself. So I'm so happy that like God and everything, luck, people I've met, everything just kind of comes together and to give me the life that I'm in now.
Yeah. You were talking about how from March to October, basically, not much was going on, you know, as far as work is concerned.
Yeah.
A lot of people during this time get discouraged, they get depressed or, you know, whatever the case might be. I know everybody faces different hurdles and struggles. Anything that you do to kind of overcome those moments of discouragement? Like, do you reach out to friends, read a book, listen to music? Like, where do you find inspiration?
Lately and during this pandemic, it's just taking time to yourself. Like, it's okay. Like, if I want to go to the beach and you know how you hit up your friends and be like, hey, who wants to go to the beach? No one wants to go, then you won't go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, life shouldn't be like that.
Right.
Like,
right.
If I want to go to the beach, I go to the beach.
Yeah.
So I'll go to the beach, chill, having a great time. So I've been spending a lot more time to myself and enjoying that.
Nice.
And I feel like that's really has grown me as a person.
I keep talking to friends about this because it's important to not do life on your own if you don't have to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm blessed, I'm fortunate because I have a family of six, you know, my mom, my brothers, my sister, and then I have my niece, you know, so whenever things get tough or whatever, I can reach out to them if I need to.
Exactly.
Or whatever the case might be, you know, having a loving family. But it's equally as important to reach out to friends, you know, people that we can count on, that we feel accountable to. I think that's the most important thing.
It's definitely great because, like, yeah, I have my close friends. I connect to them, which is great. Like,
yeah.
I'm an only child, so mainly I just go to my friends. And so they've really been a great support system throughout this whole.
Yeah. Well, an important question for you. Difference between a goal, right?
Okay, yeah.
And your dreams.
I think goals is just your more like a short-term plan. Like, I feel like, all right, my goal is to make it into the music industry. And yeah, you have your dreams. Like, my dream was to be a drummer. But yeah, at the same time, it was just to be in this industry at that level.
Yeah.
So I think like things in the path don't always go the way you think. It takes like some left turns and some right turns. But at the end of the day, if your goal and your dreams are accomplished at the end, you have the best of both worlds.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you dating anybody? You're single, married?
Single right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, just
open book. And how's that going?
It's going great.
Yeah?
Just living life to the fullest. Yeah.
I mean, the opportunity you get to travel so much, would you like to find somebody outside of the U.S.? Or what's your plan, man?
We'll see where life takes me.
Wait, where are you from?
Corona, California.
But like ethnicity, like your family?
I'm half black, half Mexican.
Do you speak Spanish?
I don't. I wish. I really wish I did.
But you like Mexican food?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been to Mexico already?
Yeah.
Nice.
Of course,
what's your favorite thing to eat?
I mean, you can never go wrong with some like tacos, quesadillas. Just a good go-to basic plates. Yeah.
Do you like ceviche?
I'm trying to make my way into it.
Are you not a big fan of like fish and stuff like that?
It's just something different and I'm just trying to, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see next time.
Yeah. All right. Well, have you ever dealt with a tough persona?
Yeah, like people always ask if artists are nice or mean, but honestly, like especially and also musicians and things like that. Honestly, I've been thankful enough that I've only worked with great people.
Wow.
Like sometimes there's stressful moments, but they're all great people. They're all supportive. They all got your back. We're like a family almost.
Yeah.
It's not like D Cobbs, Brian, Adam, and all them, Chris Johnson. It's mainly like a family. So yes, we go through stressful times. But at the end of the day, we're family. So that's what I really love about the industry.
Well, you're blessed, bro, because some people are difficult to work with. I mean, how would you approach that in the first place?
I kind of just stay in the back and not try to make too much trouble, you know?
Yeah.
Just like observe. I'm a very observant person. So I just kind of just stay back, stay in my place, do my job, be me, but not get in anyone's way.
Yeah.
And it works for me.
It's worked out so far. You were mentioning that some of these things are very repetitive. You went to Brian Fraser Moore's house for like a month straight.
Yeah.
Trying to figure this all out, you know, doing the drum tech thing. Have you had any instances where you felt like you were starting to burn out, you needed a break, anything like that?
Not really. You know, honestly, like during that transition, when I was going to Brian's house, after I left Brian's house, I would go to school. And then after school, I would be doing school, like drumming and things like that. And also learning all the tech things, going through manuals, going around all of MI. There's 50 plus kits and just tuning each one. Just so repetition, trying to get comfortable with it. And that's how I learned how to tune. Like, I got tips here and there, YouTube, Brian, things like that. But then at the end of the day, I was going into practice labs just tuning hundreds of drums.
Oh my gosh.
Just trying to learn how to do it and do it right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, so do you see yourself doing this long term for the next, 10, 15 years, retiring as is? Or do you have different plans, anything that you want coming up?
Right now, I'm enjoying this career. It's really a career. So, and I'm young. I started when I was 20. I'm 24 right now.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of years ahead of me. So I'm just going to try to make the best of it. Hopefully touring goes back, be able to tour more, see what opportunities present itself.
Yeah.
But right now, this is my long term. And then later in life, maybe 40s and 50s, we'll see where it takes me. But right now, 20s and 30s, I'm comfortable where I am.
That's good,
man. And just trying to make the best. And I'm not comfortable. You can never be comfortable. You always got to hustle.
Yeah.
Even where you are, no matter where you are, you always got to hustle. Never get comfortable.
Yeah. What would you say value means to you?
Value. Something that you're passionate about, I would say.
Yeah.
Something that you care about, that you're willing to put everything into. Like I value people. Mm-hmm. I value work and hard work. And I really value my dreams. So if I put in the work and everything like that, hopefully I would get that.
Yeah. Have you gotten the chance to work with any other drum techs, people that you were kind of shadowing
when
you were starting? Who are some of those people?
So Brian's old tech, Okwa, or still tech, really.
Yeah.
So Okwa really helped me a lot. So it's pretty much Brian introduced me to his tech when he was out with Justin. And then he just helped me. And there's a EP... all these people just went into me. They're all older. They've been doing this for me forever. And out of nowhere, I came in.
Yeah.
And they just really mentored me, helped me. They always answer my questions. I could call every one of those people and they're just a phone call away to help.
Man.
So it's not like a competition thing. It's a family.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That's
I'm so blessed I have these people.
Yeah. You've mostly worked with pop drummers, right? Up to this point.
Yeah. Pop R&B.
Pop R&B. Do you see yourself branching out, maybe working with the Spanish side of things or jazz or
give me the call. I'm ready for whatever. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I'm open to whatever, just how the industry works, how everything, just pop and R&B and award shows. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm in that, how I got into that. Yeah.
What award shows have you done already?
The BET Awards, Dear Mama, AMAs, VMAs.
The Grammys?
The Grammys.
Yeah.
Oscars. Those were two of my favorite gigs, the Grammys and the Oscars.
Were you able to chill backstage throughout the whole event and just kind of soak it all in?
Exactly. I'll be at the Grammys and Drake will be passing by, Post Malone.
Oh, man.
I remember one year it was in I went down this hallway to get to the stage and it was Michelle Obama, Lady Gaga, Alicia Keys.
Wow.
Just the most powerful women in the world in this one hallway. And I was like, I was in shock.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is right here.
Yeah,
you know?
Stardom right in front of me.
Exactly. You'll see that every day.
Did you take the professional aspect and kind of like, okay, I'm just going to see them from afar and not approach them?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you got to be professional. Even if you want to, like, yeah. Ariana Grande will be right there. I'm like, I do want to say hi, but yeah, I'll just walk by. Save this memory in my head.
Okay, so funny question. And when you've gone to these award shows, was there anybody that you thought was taller or shorter than what they appeared on TV? And then it's like, oh man, they're actually not that tall or they're actually not that short.
Huh.
Has that happened?
Good question. I haven't really paid much attention. Like, it's always like the artists. I know Ariana, she was really short.
Yeah.
But I think everyone knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can kind of tell.
Yeah, you can kind of tell.
Evident.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for aspiring drum techs?
Honestly, from drum tech to musicians to anyone that wants to be in, it just applies to anything. Be 110% dedicated in what you do. You got to find a way to do it. It's not always going to be presented your way. You just got to hustle. And I feel like anyone that's trying to be a drummer, a drum tech, be in the industry, you're just going to have to work. And who know? I don't know the time frame. Everyone's different, but just put in the work. Try every chance you got. I start from an Instagram DM.
Wow.
So if I didn't send that, who knows where my life would be, you know?
Yeah.
So you just got to try every aspect and never give up. Just always be on the hustle no matter how long it takes. Mm-hmm. And one day it will pay off.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah. So
social media handles, you have any like YouTube tutorials or anything on Instagram? Like,
just find me on Instagram. Yeah, Antonio_Geary. That's the best way to find me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. So no Twitter or anything like
no,
that?
No, just find me right on Instagram, the OG platform.
Do you have plans actually to do some type of like YouTube miniseries or like tutorials, anything like that on YouTube?
I thought about it.
That'd be pretty cool, man. I think that'd be cool for other people that want to get into this industry or specifically drum teching to see like the hustle behind it, what you have to do, what you need to know.
I agree with that because when I learned, like going to the SPDSX, like Drum Electronics, it's like there's not much stuff on YouTube. It's literally just yourself, manuals, people from like people helping you, and then just literally digging in and just figuring out everything about it.
That's good,
so
man.
So hopefully one day I will get into that and start helping some other
Looking
people.
Looking forward
out.
To that, man. That'd be cool.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. Well, this is episode 35 with Antonio Geary. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for checking out Sir Kevin Says and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Take care, everyone.